Amen. Well, please turn with me in God's Word to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. And since I'm warm-blooded by nature, I'm going to need to take this off. Second Corinthians 4, as you turn there, you know, the time immediately following Christmas has always been kind of a downer. For me, I love Christmas. It's my favorite time of the year. But see, for me, Christmas ends with Christmas. Somewhat. Obviously, Christmas lasts the whole year, but it seems like it kind of comes to an abrupt end. You know, because we're celebrating the birth of Christ, there's this magic, there's this glow to Christmas time that no other time of the year seems to have, at least to me anyway. So, it's a bit of a letdown. You know, for me, the work, the responsibilities, the weight of the new year are coming without maybe quite the ever-present joy and light of Christmas. Do any of you feel that way? Maybe not. Maybe not quite to that degree. Even if you don't, or maybe you don't feel as strongly as I do, I want to give you a message from God's Word that encourages you both with the gift of Christ that we've received by faith in His name, and that also helps you to better minister in the name of Christ to those around you. Both of these things as we enter into the new year. We're going to read our passage as we go. Let me pray for us, and then we'll get into it. Father, may it be Christ and Him crucified for all of us here today. Lord, may we be humble recipients of Your Word, knowing that You have given us everything in Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's start. Second Corinthians, and I just don't know about it. Just a little background to 2 Corinthians. Here it is in a nutshell. Paul planted the church in Corinth. Since their planting, false teachers have come in, claiming that they are apostles of God, and that Paul, and he's going through too many difficulties to be a real apostle of God. So in 2 Corinthians is Paul's defense of the ministry of Christ that God has given him. You know, we live in a world where we'll gather you many followers, especially if you claim to be an apostle slash pastor slash preacher slash teacher of God. This was true in Paul's day, and it's true today as well. But Paul tells us that his great weakness in his reliance on the strength of God in Christ is what makes him an apostle of God and a minister of Christ. Because Jesus was God who made himself weak, who made himself into a little baby to come into the world, to live among us, and to die for our sins. Now this can be difficult for us to accept weakness for the Corinthians and for us. We want nothing to do with weakness. We live in a society where weakness is shunned, marginalized, exploited. We say, I'm not weak, I'm strong. I am a strong, independent, self-sufficient American. And we may not say that out loud, but our lives are saying by the way we live. But brothers and sisters, we must embrace our own weakness to have the strength of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we must embrace the weakness of the Apostle Paul, what he's talking about. Because God has given us a weak Apostle Paul to show the strength of Jesus Christ. How do we see Paul's weakness and Christ's strength in Paul's ministry? Well, first of all, God with afflictions. God gave Paul the ministry of Christ with afflictions. 2 Corinthians, let's back up. 3:17. Let's start there. And we'll read to 4:2. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we don't lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. The implication is that these false ministers have done this, that they have resorted to disgraceful, underhanded ways, that they've practiced cunning, that they have tampered with God's word. And we see many, many teachers, many preachers, many pastors who are willing to do that in order to gain popularity or to gain followers or to gain money or to have a big church, making lots of promises from God's word that just aren't true. For example, the health and wealth gospel promising that if you just have faith, if you just have enough faith, then you'll have everything that you want in life. When that's just not true. That's not true. So, Paul says, we don't tamper with God's word. We don't water it down. Literally, this word is used of wine merchants who water down their wine in order to make a profit. We don't tamper with God's word. God has given Paul We should be thankful that we're a part of a denomination that strives to preach all by God's grace. That's what I'm doing today for all of you. Verses 3 and 4, let's move on. And even if unbelievers, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Paul so that we can receive the Spirit, so that we can receive Christ, and so that we can have life. From death. God must do that work. And this gives Paul boldness as he ministers to people. And this gives Scott and me and others boldness as we preach God's word to you. And this should give you boldness as you speak to people about Jesus Christ. It's God who does the work. We're just blessed to be used by Him to be a part to be a part of that awesome and amazing work. Verses 5, let's look at that next. Paul goes on and he says, "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Whoever stands at this pulpit, whoever happens to be your leader, we're not proclaiming ourselves, thank God, but ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Because whether it's Paul, Scott, Keith, David, I, you, we know the darkness of our hearts. Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" And just as God mentioned in Genesis 1:3, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ shines out of our dark, sin-riddled hearts. In light of the glory of Christmas, how beautiful is that? That our hearts are pure darkness. Then it takes a supernatural working of God to lift the veil, to give us the Spirit, that the light of Christ would shine from our hearts. How beautiful is that? Brighter, more spectacular than any Christmas display, than the most beautiful display of lights in the whole city of Vincennes. That is the glory of the light of Christ that shines from our hearts, from your heart, by faith in Jesus Christ. So God, in our own way, this glorious, beautiful ministry of Christ, but with afflictions. But with afflictions. Verses 7 through 9. "But we have we are we have this treasure that is Christ, this extraordinary surpassing power that's helped fallen, crumbling jars of clay, not the musical group, but us. Because you see, God took Adam in Hebrew, or Adam, which is clay or earth, to make Adam, capital, lowercase a to capital A, all of us. And into this clay creation, God, the Spirit of life, and now still holding that Spirit of God breathed into us, but with spirits darkened, twisted by our own sin. And God has sent the Spirit of Christ to renew that spirit within us. And so the light of Christ shines from within us, but it shines from within these crumbling clay jars. And God continues to test and to batter our crumbling clay jars. And this is a large part of that fancy theological word called sanctification, if you want a visual image of it. We're afflicted so that we're perplexed, persecuted, struck down. Our crumbling clay jars start showing the cracks, the holes. Why? Well, verses 10 through 12. Paul continues, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. God, why? So that the light of Christ would shine out of the cracks and holes of the crumbling clay jar that is Paul. And God for you front and center. He's given them the ministry of Christ for you. He's given them affliction, I'm sure. Perhaps much affliction. Why? Well, so that the light of Christ would shine out of the cracks and holes of the crumbling clay jars that they are. And God put me front and center for you today. He's given me the ministry of Christ for this day for you. And he's given me much affliction. And I struggle with that sometimes. I don't like it. I don't want it. Our last 8 years have been extremely difficult. You know, a lot of guys leave seminary and you think, you come to your first call, which was me about 8 years ago, and it's like, okay, I'm here finally. Ministry's going to be great. And then the afflictions start to happen. In those 8 years, my wife and I had two miscarriages, got pregnant twice, two miscarriages, diagnosed with infertility, had to decide if we were going to continue with fertility treatments or pursue adoption, what kind of adoption would we pursue. We decided on foster care, went through a year of foster care training, got into the foster care system, started fostering, and you're just immediately put into the mess of a fallen world. And so we have two beautiful baby girls whom we've had since birth, which is a miracle in and of itself. But we went through a lot to get there. And in the midst of all that, we were away from home. My wife was away from home for the first time in her life. My dad passed away. We went to care for him in hospice until he died. My mom, who already had reclusive tendencies, became a hermit. I'm an only child. We're the ones to care for her. And in the midst of all that, we're in Iowa trying to join two churches together that don't want to be joined together at first, but they're both dying and they need to hear the truth. And so from a year and a half in until the day we left, about 5.5 years, there was conflict, at least a large conflict. Every 6 months, people left the church. The joining failed the first time. It succeeded the second time. My wife and I left that call exhausted and broken and in doubt about whether I would ever do this again, maybe. That was our level of affliction for 8 years. And so we come here and the Lord gives us a sabbatical. And the Lord continues to sanctify me with two little girls who I'm at home with full time for the first time. And I'm not all that great with kids, and I'm an only child, and I was raised selfish. And so the Lord continues to sanctify me, and sometimes I just say, you know, I'm done. I just want a break. I'm done. And that lasts for a day or two. And the Lord gives me the grace and strength to continue. And I do. I had one of those days Friday. I doubted whether this sermon would even get done. But it did. And I'm here. And I tell you all that so you know the afflictions that come with Christ and the ministry of Christ. And so that you also know the strength that God gives that is not my own, that comes from Him alone. And so that you also take hold of it for yourselves. Because with Christ comes ministry, with ministry comes afflictions. And then it becomes a matter of how you choose to deal with it. Will you submit to it? Will you be honest about it to God and to others? Will you show a watching world that you really are a crumbling jar of clay? Will you let the world see not your strength, but the beautiful light of Christ that shines out of everything that you've ever been through as a Christian? We're tempted to choose the former, but how much more beautiful is the latter? How much more beautiful? God gave Paul the ministry of Christ with afflictions. And He gives us, in our own way, each of us, our own ministry, and it comes with afflictions as well. God, for the sake of others. Well, what does that mean? Let's look at that. Verse 12. Paul says, "So death is at work in us, but life in you." Death is at work in us, but life in you. Verse 13. Since we have and so no, bring us with you into His presence. And what that psalm's about is the psalmist giving praise to God for delivering him out of death, out of the hands of treacherous men and women. And the psalmist is giving praise for that. In the midst of affliction, the psalmist says, "Praise God that You've delivered me." And within that psalm is a passage or a verse perhaps you've heard: "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." It's one of those passages, and Paul quotes it in Romans 8. It's one of those passages that we're not really comfortable with as Christians. What does that mean? I don't really like that. Because that's not just for Paul, that's not just for the psalmist, that's for each one of us. "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." Is our death to ourselves and our own self-sufficiency and our own fleeing from weakness and our own independence, so that the light of Christ may shine. Strength from weakness. Not my strength, not your strength. The strength of Jesus Christ. Why? Verse 15. "For it is all thanksgiving to the glory of God." It's for your sake. Have you thought about that before? I mean, it is for our sake, right? We're encouraged by the strength that the Lord provides for us, the faith, the perseverance He gives us. But what is the second commandment? "Love thy neighbor as thyself." So who is it for? Just as much as you, maybe more. It's for the people around you who see that in the midst of afflictions, in the midst of weakness, in the midst of difficulties, your trust in Christ stands firm. It remains solid. Maybe it wavers, maybe it shakes, but it's still there in the end. And so the light of Christ shines through the cracks and the holes in the jars of clay. And so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Brothers and sisters, do you realize that that is perhaps outreach? That is perhaps evangelism. Maybe the greatest kind. That you get to know people, they see that you're not perfect. They see that you need a living Savior, Jesus Christ, and they want Him to. That out of your cracks, out of your deficiencies, out of your weird, quirky habits, that out of all of it, through it all, you depend on Jesus Christ, and they see that they're just as messed up and broken as you are, and they want Him to. They want Him to. So we're not just afflicted for the sake of afflictions. We're not just afflicted for the sake of our own sanctification. We're afflicted so that in the sight of others, others may come to know Jesus Christ. Or their faith is grown when they see how you deal with the afflictions, how you deal with the afflictions themselves. I sat down and had lunch with a brother a little while back, right? And this guy, I think his story is even worse than mine. Because for as long as he's been in ministry, and he's been in ministry longer than me, he's been poor. This guy is, so what is he? He is in the upper 0.5 percentile of intelligence in the whole country. So not just Mensa, but like beyond that. He's a genius. But he's chosen ministry. And he's always struggled to support his family for 10 years. You know, his wife got pregnant. They had two miscarriages. During the second miscarriage, her miscarriage actually turned into a very rare form of cancer that could have killed her. But she lived. In the meantime, he served in a church that can't promise him that they will pay him for the upcoming year. And he's telling me all this. And I think especially the miscarriage thing with the cancer. I'm tempted to think, you know, and that's maybe my personality, but I start getting a little angry with God. What are you doing to this poor guy? I mean, hasn't he had enough? Come on. And then he finishes all this, and his voice quivers. And he says, but we trust in the Lord. But we trust in the Lord. It says, through the cracks, through the holes, the light of Christ shines. And my faith is strengthened. Isn't yours, when you hear such stories, when you sit with a brother and sister in Christ and hear about what they've been through and how they've been afflicted, but they've stayed strong in Christ? God gave Paul the ministry of Christ with afflictions for the sake of others, for the sake of each one of us. And finally, God. the last three verses of our passage, verses 16 through 18. Paul continues, "So we do not lose heart, though our day by day, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." We don't lose heart. And you got to love Paul. He's completely honest. We're wasting away. Even the children, I'm sorry, we are. The minute we're born, we begin to die. Our cells begin to die. It's just that when we're young, our bodies regenerate up until a certain point, and that shuts off, or begins to shut off. And we begin to die even more, and we waste away because we're crumbling jars of clay. But though outwardly we're wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. So though the outward man is wasting away because of sin, the inner self, the spirit, the nefesh chaya that the Lord has breathed into us is being renewed by faith in Christ. So then this light momentary affliction, light is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all scope, beyond all measure or proportion. It's really what he has in here. Beyond anything we can imagine. As we look not to the things that are seen, which we're so tempted to do, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Because faith in Christ is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. So let me close with this. At Christmas, we celebrate the coming of God's Christ, Jesus, into the world to live a perfect life, to die on the cross for our sins, to be raised to life. And there can be a kind of letdown after that celebration until we come to Easter. Yet, brothers and sisters, Paul encourages us for the year to come, for every year. Don't lose heart. Jesus didn't lose heart. Paul, by the strength of Christ, instead, consider the invaluable and constant ministry that we're given, the ministry of Christ to those around us with afflictions, for the sake of those around us, to encourage us all. Like the Corinthians, like all, we don't like to watch others suffer. We want to run away from it. Most of us do. That's why people don't visit nursing homes. And especially as Americans, we have become more and more allergic to suffering. We run away from adulthood by prolonging adolescence. We run away from having children through abortion. We run away from aging through modern medicine. We run away from even the appearance of poverty by going into debt and going into debt. We hate to suffer. Then what could be more countercultural? What could get more attention than suffering in the name of Christ? We talk about the American church dying. We talk about the need for outreach. Brothers and sisters, this may be the reason, the biggest reason why the American church really is dying. We don't want to submit to the suffering the Lord has for us. We don't want to show others that we are weak, suffering, dying people, desperately in need of a Savior. We want to cling to that independence, to that self-sufficiency, to that strength, our own strength. Yet this is and will always be the heart of Christianity, which symbolized by a cross. A weak, suffering, dying God, Jesus, dying to save me, dying to save you. And in Paul, we see a weak, suffering, dying apostle, dying by the strength of Christ to show us Jesus. Will we do the same? Are we willing to let others get close enough to see it? Are we willing to show them that we're weak, that we're vulnerable, that we're crumbling, that we need help? That we live by the strength of Christ, not by our own strength. Will we do that and consider ourselves blessed to do it? Let's pray. Lord, we don't like to suffer. We don't like weakness. We don't like affliction. Lord, we confess it. We want to run away from it. We want to be independent. We want to be our own God. We want to live for ourselves. Lord, may we accept the afflictions that you give us to sanctify us. May we see that ministry is constant, that people are always watching. And what they're watching for is not what we think they are. That they're looking for Christ, those whose veil is being lifted. So Lord, may we show each other, may we show a watching world Christ, and not ourselves, not our self-sufficiency, not our independence, but our dependence on Jesus Christ. And we ask this in His name. Amen.